Is unity possible? God's Word says it is. Let's study it together on book, chapter, and verse.
Wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Beautiful words, wonderful words.
Wonderful words of
life. Welcome to Book, Chapter, and Verse, and I'm Jeff Archie. Each week, we present this program as a tool to open the precious book divine, God's Word, and to consider via book, chapter, and verse the truth. God's Word is truth, according to John 17, 17, and we believe that we can grow in the way God would have us to go if we'll just open up His Word and study it together. Also, stay with us on the broadcast. We hope to present a hymn here shortly that you may join in and sing along. We also want to extend some information if you'd like to continue your studies at home. In between broadcasts, if you'd like to study some material by mail that pertains to our broadcast, we'll be more than happy to share that with you. So be looking for that contact information at the end of our program. And again, thank you for being with us today. Our book, chapter, and verse today will be coming from the book of Ephesians, chapter 4, beginning with verse 1. We want to think about some things along the line of unity. We want to think about some things that our Lord commanded through the pen of the Apostle Paul. In 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 37, Paul reminds us that the things that he would write are the commandments of the Lord. And what Paul has written is as inspired as what is brought forth from any writer in the Bible. So now in Ephesians 4, 1 through 3, let's consider this text. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. When I read that text, I am reminded of the beauty of unity. And there are two things that we note from this reading. First of all, note Paul talks about the direction. I want you to walk worthy. A writer by the name of Kaufman said that it is to exhibit the kind of life that would do honor to the holy religion of Christ, which they had accepted. In other words, the direction that you take, you walk in that direction. It's worthy of redeeming you, and it's worthy that you walk in the right way. And then he talks about not only the direction, but their duty. I want you, Paul said, to endeavor, endeavoring to keep. The word endeavor is a word that means haste or quickly or zealous or to be diligent. In other words, Paul's saying, I want you to give attention to what you need to be doing as you walk worthy. As God has made you whole through His grace and your obedience to His will, and you walk worthy in that direction, I want to remind you of your duty and what it is about. Now, note how verse 3 is written. Folks, the unity of the Spirit will always be there. The unity of the Spirit of God, of Christ, and the Holy Spirit is always there. Notice the writing to us, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. In other words, it is the challenge of the Christian, the child of God, the one who is walking worthy, to strive to keep the unity of the Spirit in a bond of peace, to keep it together and to keep it in harmony. Now, as we note here, folks, the New Testament church desired unity. And even today, the church must also have the charge of keeping unity in the bond of peace. Unity is a tough thing to attain, is it not? You and I have to acknowledge and admit why there are so many different churches. And the sadness is they don't agree on a lot of things. Maybe you have found yourself in a disagreement with someone who attended a different place of worship than you do. Why, obviously, it's very possible and more than likely, you might have disagreed with some things that I've brought forth. But we can always go back to the Bible. If you will come to the Bible and I will go to the Bible, and we determine to allow the Bible and the Bible alone to bring us into unity, then that's what God would have us to do. Unity is not putting aside doctrinal differences. In the religious world, some look upon that as unity. When individuals have to make a decision spiritually, and yet there's disharmony, what have we accomplished? Putting aside a difference means we're going to pick it back up shortly. Now, there are things that we can disagree on in a matter of opinion, but there are things from the Word of God that you nor I have authority to disagree with God on, much less ourselves. I submit to you that unity is not joining together to see our similarities. If you think about it, a lot of religious groups can sit down and find similarities, but as we continue to look at those things, there are things that can arise that can disrupt our unity. We're instructed to walk worthy and to endeavor to keep that unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And so today, as we consider the subject, think about the importance of unity. Now, I've heard this example used, and I certainly wouldn't encourage it to be done. But I've often heard it said, you can take two cats and tie their tails together and hang them over a fence or a clothesline. They're going to have union, but they're not going to have unity. And that is true. And when you and I think about that, that is something that is so horrendous. Well, in a bigger sense, it's horrendous today for there to be disunity among those desiring to be the people of God. What if we simply were to put aside and put away from us, rather, the things that would divide us and come together and say, what does the Bible say? What can we do to achieve that unity? Well, my friend, today let us consider some thoughts about unity. And I hope that it will help us as the New Testament church desired unity. May we do the same. First of all, unity is desired in the Scriptures. Psalm 133 and verse 1. The psalmist said, behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is a good thing. It is a pleasant thing. It allows us to further the cause of the Lord and allows us to labor and to work. And Jesus Himself even prayed for unity. Let's consider John 17 and verse 20. Jesus said, neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one as thou, Father, art in me and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. You know, sometimes it's hard for the world to believe that. I've had people share with me, Jeff, with so many different religious groups, I wouldn't know what to believe or where to start. And I simply say, let's go back to the Bible. You know, folks, it's very easy for you and I to engage in discussion of what does your church teach? There are occasions that I will have people ask me, Jeff, what does your church teach? And I simply say, well, churches can teach anything because we're human. But let's go back and see what the Bible has to say, and that's what churches should be teaching. Jesus did pray for that unity. And as we further this thought, listen to the precious words of Jesus in the parable of the sower and the seed in Luke 8:11. If you remember that parable, Jesus taught about a sower that would sow seed. Some fell upon good soil, some fell upon thorny soil, some fell upon soil that was covered by the weeds. Some fell among and was taken by birds and devoured. It fell upon different ground. And Jesus paralleled that with the hearts of men. But in Luke 8 and verse 11, here's what Jesus said. The seed, or the parable is this, the seed is the Word of God. Now, with the seed being the Word of God, let's ask a question. If we simply sow the seed, the Word of God, is it possible that we will reap the church we read of in the New Testament? Well, there's no doubt. We will also maintain the same unity that they possessed in the first century. When problems arose, God, through those apostles, guided by the Spirit, would preach and teach and instruct. This is the direction you need to come back. While the apostles have passed away, we have through the Spirit the divine Word that if we sow that Word, then we will reap the benefits of the Word. You know, if I sow corn, I'm going to reap corn. If I put in a small tomato plant, I'm going to reap tomatoes. And if I sow the Word of God, I am going to reap what is sown from that Word. That's why I can take this same Word, travel to another part of the world, and establish the church that we read of in the New Testament and nothing else by simply using one source book, the Bible. You see, in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 33, Paul told that church, Corinth, to whom he was writing to correct their division. God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all churches of the saints. Paul, again, was writing to a church with such problems, such division, such trouble. And he said, God is not the author of confusion. God has never decided to create multiple churches to confuse people. Through His Son and His eternal purpose, there's but one church. So folks, as we think about this, unity among the people of God should be desired. And unity can be achieved when man-made teachings and desires are put away and we desire the unity that is revealed in the Word of God. In previous broadcasts of Book, Chapter, and Verse, we've looked at characteristics of the church we read of in the New Testament. We've looked at a lot of different things, the characteristics of the head, Jesus Christ, His body, which is the church. We've noted about her name and how she's identified. We've noted her purpose. We've simply taken the Bible as our guide, and using that guide, we will sow the seed. We cannot help but to reap truth and to understand what God would have us to do. So unity is possible through the Bible to cast away the man-made teachings and thoughts and come back to the simplicity of the Word of God. It's a challenge, but Jesus prayed for it. The psalmist said it is beautiful. And God is not the author of confusion, but of peace. Let's consider secondly. Folks, unity must be declared in our lives. We need to live a life of unity. Now remember our text. We can keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. We endeavor to do that very thing. We have to make haste or to set ourselves to do so. Can people agree? Well, yes, they can. People can agree. It is possible. Let's think about some of the ones from the Scripture as we look along this line. First of all, we acknowledge there is one head, and that is Jesus Christ. That's Ephesians 1, 22 and 23. And hath put all things under His feet and gave Him to be the head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him that filleth all in all. Colossians 1, 18 reminds us, He is the head of the body, the church. Who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have the preeminence? Now, when we talk about unity, notice there is a one. Let's start with the one head, Christ. Acknowledge His preeminence and His greatness. Number two, there is one body, and the body is the church. Both texts we looked at are both sections, Ephesians 1, 22 and 23 and Colossians 1, 18, acknowledges one head Christ, one body, the church. Now, one head and one body must possess one mind. If I will but pursue the mind of Christ, then I will be what God would have me to be. As the body of Christ, let me pursue the mind of Christ. Let's think for a moment of Romans chapter 12. The first part of verse 16 says, "Be of the same mind one toward another." Paul's writing to the church at Rome. He's writing to this body of believers and said, "You be of the same mind one toward another." You endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Same mind one toward another. In Romans 15 and verses 5 and 6, Paul writes and says further, "Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another according to Christ Jesus, that you may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." Yes, it can be done. 1 Peter chapter 3, and I trust you are jotting these down, and if I go a little too fast, we can help you as we conclude the program and share any information with you you'd like. 1 Peter 3, verse 8, "Finally, be you all of one mind, having compassion one of another, love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous." One mind. Now, look with me. If we look at one head, one body, and one mind, then that means my mind is thinking as God directs through Christ and His Word, and your mind is thinking as Christ directs through His Word, and we are able to work together in the one body. But let's move on. How about one heart and soul? Is it possible? Acts 4 and verse 32 says it is. We look back in those early days of the church. Look at how they were conducting their lives. Acts 4 and verse 32 says, "And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common." It's possible then. It's possible now. If we will but sow the seed that instructs us what to do. One head to one body. As one mind, one heart and soul, what's it going to result in? One speech, one judgment. Yes, dear friends, you and I can open our Bibles and turn to that good book of 1 Corinthians, and you and I can find a group of Christians that were divided. My, we look within chapter 1 and we find Paul saying of those that were stating, "I am of Paul, I am of Apollos, I of Cephas, and I of Christ." Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Folks, here are people that say, "Well, I bear this name, I bear that name, I bear this name, I look at that name." And folks, it can be a confusing thing. But in 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 10, "Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and same judgment." One head Christ over one body, the church, that should have the same heart, the same soul, the same mind, the same speech, the same judgment. Now, a careful study of each one of these points and passages show us how our unity can go off track. When man opts for his way instead of God's way in these areas of one, unity is disrupted. Once again, we need to endeavor to work hard and to maintain that unity that God provided. For example, if we come together and disagree on one head, there's going to be a problem. If we come together and disagree on one body, there's a problem. Now we're going to say different things in our mind, our heart, and our soul, and our speech and judgment. So as the church in the New Testament was urged to live in unity, so should we in our relationships with one another. And it is very possible that we may find ourselves making changes to be in one with our Lord. And let us indeed pursue that unity this very day. You know, there are things that I grew up believing that as I studied God's Word and I realized that's not what God said. And I need to make certain that I do the right thing. I've known of people who have left the denominational world because they grasped the church we read of in the New Testament. They saw something missing in that unity. Unity is possible today. The oneness of the Scriptures come forth that God has provided for us to be one in Christ and to achieve that unity. It's going to take us putting away our thoughts, our opinions, our handwritten church manuals, declarations from earthly headquarters. Dear friends, with all due respect, I have noticed of those religious bodies that have earthly headquarters make declarations or changes for their followers that are in direct opposition of what the Bible has to say. That can't achieve unity. But God's Word instructs us on how to achieve the unity in Christ. I suppose it would all begin by me asking the first question, am I one in Christ? Am I in Jesus Christ? You might think, well, Jeff, how do I get into Christ, into that body, the church? Well, I've got to believe in Christ, but I understand that believing in Him is not enough. It stuns some people, but if you think about it, in John 12:42, there were those that believed in Christ but did not confess Him lest they be thrown out of the synagogue. I know a lot of people that believe in God, but their lives do not reflect it, and so do you. But will our belief move us to embrace what is there to change our lives, such as to repent of our sins? In Acts 2, verse 38, they had asked a question in verse 37, men and brethren, what shall we do? The first word out of Peter's mouth was repent. You've got to change your heart. You've got to change your direction. Confessing Jesus as the Son of God. Every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Confess Jesus as the Son of God. Can you believe yourself into the body? The Bible doesn't say that. Can you confess yourself into the body? It doesn't say that. Can you repent yourself into the body of Christ? No, but did you know, based on all of that, if you're baptized into Christ, you are baptized into His body. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 12 and following. You are baptized into Christ. Romans 6, 4 through 6. You are baptized into Christ, Galatians 3:27. You are placed in Christ, in His body, the church. And that from there, your life has unity with God. You are then able to exercise and to walk faithful unto death, Revelation 2:10. You're able to press onward serving the Lord. You're able to do great things for our Lord, walking in that light as He is in the light, 1 John 1:7. Experiencing and embracing the redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace, Ephesians 1:7, as well as the book of Colossians, chapter 1, verses 13 and 14. You can do that very thing today. We'll be glad to help you here on Book, Chapter, and Verse. Let's pause now and embrace the hymn that is coming your way. Let us sing together.
God is on the right of God without delay. Hear, O hear.
It's beautiful to study about unity, and I hope our study today will help you toward unity in Christ. Thanks for joining me today. I look forward to next time.
Wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Beautiful words, wonderful words
of life.